This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. Allahu, 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 Allahu,
Sister Anisa, welcome to Heart and Soul. May the peace and blessings of Allah be with you.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Being a revert to Islam myself, I was really grateful for the changes that it made to my life, specifically and quickly the removal of alcohol from the household. I wonder what changes you experienced coming to Islam aged 15 from a dancing background. How was that?
That for me was one of the hardest things, I think, because I went from an active soul. You know, I was dancing about 8 hours a day continuously. And then all of a sudden, and remember, this is going back 23 years before there were female-only gyms and classes, etc. But what I found was that my body seized up. And it was a big, massive change, you know, going from activity to inactivity. And instead of me kind of joining the ranks of most other women, meaning, you know, being in pajamas, etc., I said, no, we can't have this. You know, our women are suffering. Not only are we becoming overweight, we are also suffering from all sorts of illnesses and problems that we shouldn't be suffering from. So I embarked on, you know, getting the community active again, and there's been massive changes. So yes, for me personally, it was a struggle, but the struggle turned out to be a fantastic journey.
I wonder about the food element and how that began to interest you.
Well, actually, before Islam, I was interested in food because I grew up with a mum who, you know, always worked on an allotment, so we grew our own food. You know, organic was normal in my area. And also the people that I grew up with were very conscious about being environmentally friendly. They, you know, used to recycle. So this was fantastic. Then coming into Islam, I was just amazed by the wonderful ways that we have such detailed information about how to eat, what to eat, how to sit even. And that was, for me, you know, one of the biggest or shall I say, one of the best parts of Islam that I took, and it was fantastic.
I wonder how that was taught to you, because as you said, there wouldn't have been that accessibility to information from all different sources. We now have Sheikh Google, the good and the bad in that. But where were your sources at that time?
Yes, you're right. I mean, we have a wide range of information now. It's fantastic. But back then, there were very few books translated into English. And, you know, it was a matter of finding a set of Bukhari, which is the sayings of the Prophet, peace be upon him. And, you know, for me, it was going through the health sections and be like, right, let's find out what it was. Because my journey to Islam was actually what inspired me was how the Muslims go to the toilet. And it might sound really strange and really silly, but when I found out that they used water to clean themselves, I was like, this is absolutely amazing. And that was, for me, my light bulb moment. It was like, what other secrets do these people know? And that led me to, you know, becoming a Muslim, alhamdulillah, like you said, at the age of 15.
Alhamdulillah.
But from that, then I realized there is a treasure of information, you know, that was written 1500 years ago. So I delved into that and I wanted to know more.
So obviously you're a very practical person, and Islam was given to your heart in a very practical way. What other tips began to emerge about the way that people were and were not living in an Islamic way? What would you like to share about what really moved you?
Like I said, it was the fact that there was so much information, but it was so simplified. For instance, you know, we have a massive problem with weight. Okay, and if people take the teachings of getting up in the morning and having water with honey, this is a fantastic way of detoxifying your body. It's brilliant. It not only rehydrates you, but it gets rid of all the fetal matter and everything. So you end up going to the loo, you know, and I'm always saying about the toilet, but you end up going to the loo, which you need. You need to cleanse your body. So the fact that it's something that seems so small, it has such, you know, massive benefits. And that's something that I would say, you know, if you haven't done that, do it. Get up in the morning, you know, not cold water from the fridge, just tepid or warm water, mix it with a spoonful of honey and have that first thing on an empty stomach. It will work wonders.
Now, we've got pasteurized honey these days and we have to buy it from the supermarket. Does it make a difference? What honey and how do you treat the honey? Because I know you once gave me a tip about how to take the honey from the jar even.
Yes. Well, we all, or most of us know that honey from the cedar tree is very special and very beneficial. And also, you know, local organic honey, this is great. But yes, when I was doing some studies on honey and I was working with some local beekeepers, they told me to use a wooden spoon. Now, I don't know how much in terms of science, but they said, you know, take it from a wooden spoon and mix it. Don't mix it with a metal spoon. So I do that. And just drink that first thing in the morning. Simple.
I read somewhere that there's something to do with enzymes and the metal reacting. We've got some scientists out there, so perhaps you can give us your research afterwards. Qatar Foundation Radio 93.8 will be happy to hear from you. I use plastic spoons. That's not the main source of the importance of this. I wonder, where in the Quran does it speak about honey? Is this actually linked to our Islamic faith?
Yes. There's a lovely hadith, and this is a hadith that's really dear to me, that talks about honey and hijama, cupping, being the best way for mankind to treat themselves. So for me, I have my own journey with hijama, and that's a personal one that I'm happy to share. But the fact that it goes side to side with honey was like, okay, I definitely know the benefits of hijama. And honey, it cleans the gut. It gets rid of all the bacteria that's in the stomach. And most of our diseases actually come from our stomachs.
Tell us a little bit about your journey with hijama, because 23 years ago, I believe in the United Kingdom, it was known as cupping, and it was a Chinese medicine. And it wasn't recognised as an Islamic medicine, was it?
Well, I'll actually go back to say about 15 years ago, nobody on the UK scene knew about hijama. For me personally, I was very fortunate to meet somebody who said to me, come and have this treatment done. And a lovely lady, she was really a spiritual and ethical lady, but I was really skeptical and frightened. And she said, you know, all your pains and woes would go away. And I didn't believe her. But lo and behold, because I respected her, I went and had this treatment. And I actually had very, very bad women's issues. So I sat down and I had this treatment for half an hour.
Can you tell us, what does it entail?
Okay. So I actually had what is called dry cupping or dry hijama. And I laid down and a lovely Algerian lady came and put this glass cup on my stomach. She gave me some nuts and seeds and mixed with honey to eat afterwards. And she told me to go away. It was just that simple. Nothing more. Placing the cup on your body and creating a vacuum. That's where the word hijama comes. It comes from the word sucking. So you see a lot of celebrities having this done, you know, the likes of Madonna and a lot of these actresses, etc. And, you know, I thought, OK, is that it? After this, you know, 20 minutes to half an hour session. But lo and behold, you know, it absolutely changed my life. Now, there was an element that I was so happy, but then there was an element where I was so angry. I was angry at the fact that the Muslims who have these treasures were not using these fantastic traditional ways of life. And so I went to some local imams and I asked them, you know, tell your people, and they didn't even know themselves what it was. So for me, I was really fortunate. I went to Egypt, I studied it, I brought it back to the UK, and now, to the best of my ability, I hope that everybody, Muslim and non-Muslim, knows about hijama.
What's the recommended time frame for having hijama? Because there are limits placed upon when you should and shouldn't have it.
Yes, there are recommended dates in the lunar calendar, so that's a calendar that coincides with the moon. And they are the 17th, 19th and the 21st of each month. And this is when it's a safe way to take the toxins out. And going back to the sayings of the Prophet, peace be upon him, there are certain hadiths that talk about hijama again being the best way for you to treat yourselves. So for me, becoming a Muslim, this was like, you know, first and foremost, I believe. And second of all, who am I to argue? And when I actually had it done and I scientifically had it tested, which was absolutely phenomenal.
Tell us about that process of finding a non-Muslim scientist to go through the blood results.
That was incredible. And I did that on purpose, not only because he's one of the most recognised blood specialists in the UK at the time. I wanted somebody who didn't have the faith belief behind them. And so what happened is I invited him down to our clinic and he was testing the blood on his own before hijama. And then I said to him, you know, can you just test this blood, please? This is the blood from the treatment that I do. So he said, yeah, sure. So we gathered up some samples and he tested it. And then he didn't get back to me for 24 hours. And I was like, okay, maybe I've offended him. Maybe he thinks what I'm doing is barbaric. But no, he said, after 24 hours, he realized that what we were doing was the best and most deepest way to detoxify the body. And it took him 24 hours to actually, you know, take it in and digest it. He said this is breakthrough because his studies and what he'd been doing and the methods that he'd been taught to, on how to analyze the blood was actually nowhere near what he had learned from our studies.
And is this study ongoing?
Well, we always need a lot of research. I'd love to find somebody out there, a soul out there who would, you know, back us up and, you know, take deeper studies of this because this is such a fantastic way of curing mankind.
MashaAllah, that's wonderful knowledge. Thank you for sharing that. There is another way of doing hijama, which is called wet cupping, which I'm a bit squeamish about. You keep threatening me with it. and I need it. We all need detoxing. Tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, so wet cupping isn't as scary as some people think. I know there's a lot of YouTube stuff out there and people are doing it in weird and strange ways. But yes, you do have to be very careful with the practitioner first and foremost. I am, you know, very strong believer in that. Hence the reason why I actually went to the British government to get it separated from traditional Chinese medicine and let it stand alone. That's number one. But it's not scary. It's not even painful. It's just a very small scratch, but it allows your body to release the toxins straight away. So it is a wonderful way of releasing. I've had people that have had all sorts of illnesses. I've had women, 40-year-old women who couldn't get pregnant, who were able to have one session of hijama after even failing it with IVF and then falling pregnant with their first child. So it is definitely a miracle that we need to embark on.
And guidance for finding the right practitioner?
Oh, yes, definitely. Really be careful.
What are your tips?
My tips are make sure that they have been practicing themselves for long. Don't just get somebody who's certified because there's other people out there that are certifying people at the drop of a hat and they are not qualified themselves. So be careful of the pieces of paper that are going round too.
I think in Qatar they have a good policy for checking these out. But of course, a practitioner who's been doing it a long time is like a surgeon who's been operating for 25 years.
Yes.
So we ask for guidance on this. Let's go now to a break where we will listen to Surah Mulk.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Tabarakalladhi biyadihil mulk wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Alladhi khalaqal mauta wal hayata liyabluwakum ayyukum ahsanu 'amala wa huwal 'azizul ghafur. الذي خلق سبع سماوات طباقا ما ترى في خلق الرحمن من تفاوت فارجع البصر هل ترى من فطور ثم ارجع البصر كرتين ينقلب إليك البصر خاسئا وهو حسير ولقد زينا السماء الدنيا بمصابيح وجعلناها رجوما للشياطين وأعتدنا لهم عذاب السعير وللذين كفروا بربهم عذاب جهنم وبئس المصير إذا ألقوا فيها سمعوا لها شهيقا وهي تفور تكاد تميز من الغيظ كلما ألقي فيها فوج سألهم خزنتها ألم يأتكم نذير قالوا بلى قد جاءنا نذير فكذبنا وقلنا ما نزل الله من شيء إن أنتم إلا في ضلال كبير وقالوا لو كنا نسمع أو نعقل ما كنا في أصحاب السعير فاعترفوا بذنبهم فسحقا لأصحاب السعير إن الذين يخشون ربهم بالغيب لهم مغفرة وأجر كبير وأسروا قولكم أو اجهروا به إنه عليم بذات الصدور ألا يعلم من خلق وهو اللطيف الخبير هو الذي جعل لكم الأرض ذلولا فامشوا في مناكبها وكلوا من رزقه وإليه النشور أأمنتم من في السماء فبكم الأرض فإذا هي تمور أم أمنتم من في السماء أن يرسل عليكم حاصبا فستعلمون كيف نذير ولقد كذب الذين من قبلهم فكيف كان نكير أولم يروا إلى الطير فوقهم صافات ويقبضن ما يمسكهن إلا الرحمن إنه بكل شيء بصير أمن هذا الذي هو جند لكم ينصركم من دون الرحمن إن الكافرون إلا في غرور أمن هذا
هذا الذي يرزقكم إن أمسك رزقه بل لجوا في عتو ونفور أفمن يمشي مكبا على وجهه أهدى أمن يمشي سويا أمن يمشي سويا على صراط مستقيم قل هو الذي أنشأكم وجعل لكم السمع والأبصار والأفئدة قليلا ما تشكرون قل هو الذي ذرأكم في الأرض وإليه تحشرون ويقولون متى هذا الوعد إن كنتم صادقين قل إنما العلم عند الله وإن ما أنا نذير مبين فلما رأوه زلفة سيئت وجوه الذين كفروا وقيل هذا الذي كنتم به تدعون قل أرأيتم إن أهلكني الله ومن معي أو رحمنا فمن يجير الكافرين من عذاب أليم قل هو الرحمن آمنا به وعليه توكلنا فستعلمون من هو في ضلال مبين قل أرأيتم إن أصبح ماؤكم غورا فمن يأتيكم بماء
That beautiful recitation of the Holy Quran was by Sheikh Mishri bin Al-Faisi. That's all we have time for today. Thanks to my guest, Anissa Kassoun. And we'll be back tomorrow for another episode of Heart and Soul. Thanks to my producer, Ihab Al-Sheikh. And we'll be back for part two with Anissa Kassoun tomorrow. Assalamu alaikum. Allah.